You are listening live to the program, brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson. Get a cash offer for your motorcycle in minutes. Go to WorthHarley-Davidson.com and click on the Sell to Us tab. If you're ready to sell, Worth Harley-Davidson will give you the best cash offer in minutes. Worth Harley-Davidson, just south of the airport on I-29 and online at WorthHarley-Davidson.com.
I think in the next couple of days, we'll probably have a pretty good idea. We don't know, but I know they're talking, so I think within the next couple of days we're pretty definite on that.
You look back at the tape, it seemed like there was just one person on every play that wasn't in the perfect spot. And I mean, in this league, everybody has to be on the same page. I have to make the right reads whenever it's my job to make the read. The offensive line has to block as a unit. The receivers have to run routes off of each other. And I think if you can get that all together, that's when you can have those big days like we did the first week. And obviously, when you don't, you have weeks like we did this last week.
And now, still not sure where his Sunday Night Football watch party will be. Probably his apartment, his place. Soren Petro, his apartment. I actually wrote apartment.
I've lived in apartments. I haven't for a little while.
I keep thinking about my place. All the concern about where the game's going to be. You're like, where am I going to watch the game? Oh, yeah, my couch.
I actually do have game concerns and have been texting folks about it because I'm going to Sporting. You know, we got pregame at 9. Mm-hmm. We always do the pregame at 9, regardless of what time the Chiefs play. So I got pregame at 9, and then I'm going out to Sporting. So, you know, I don't know. And maybe I'll hang around for some pops at Sporting. You know?
Could be.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if there'll be time. Right? So I may be late arriving home and starting 45 minutes late using the DVR. That could be what I end up doing.
Maybe a little Bed Bath & Beyond.
Don't know if there's time, but we'll find out. We got a lot to get to today. Peter Vermees is going to be with us talking about the Sporting match coming up this weekend with the Seattle Sounders. The Sporting Kansas City can play the role of spoiler. Very important match for the Sounders.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Sporting, even though they are red hot with 4 wins and 2 draws in their last 6 and outscoring their opponents 15-4.
15-4. That's one-sided.
They're on the outside looking in, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of reason to be quite optimistic about where things are going for next year. So we'll talk about it with Sporting's manager and Sporting director.
Peter Vermees is
I think Mick Schaefer owes me lunch because we wagered on what his other title was. He said he's technical director. I said, no, he used to be technical director.
Yeah.
He's now sporting director. And I don't know what the difference is, whether it's just how they spelled it.
The difference is however much you wagered.
in the bio. Right?
I hear that he deals with the customers so that the engineers don't have to.
Okay. That makes sense.
But Peter Vermees is a guy I would listen to talk on really any subject. There aren't many guests that you would have on, who are interesting and thoughtful enough. I could listen to a 1-hour podcast of Peter Vermees talking about like best convenience stores or just anything odd that he's experienced in life. He's one of the most honest and engaging people there's ever been in this town, and he's always interesting, man.
And now, time for Peter Vermees on Gas Station Coffee.
He seems like the kind of guy who is so ruthlessly efficient with his job that at any given second, like he probably has his day down to what, like he could tell you what square foot he will be at any given second. Like at 5:15 and 37 seconds, I'm 2 feet away from the coffee maker in my kitchen.
I think you've underestimated him because I think he's efficient enough to understand that you're not going to get something down to the second. So you got to pad everything.
There's that little ad,
As a guy who's immensely busy myself.
Yes.
If something's supposed to take 15 minutes, you block out 20, 25, 30 minutes for it, right? Put the travel time on the deal to help carve out the necessary time. Poor planning on your part, Adam, is not an emergency for Curtis and I.
No.
Is what we're saying.
And vice versa. There is a specific amount of time that, we waste in our lives trying to keep from wasting time. We're trying to let me structure this so that I can save 5 minutes.
I will say,
just spent 40 minutes trying to carve 5 minutes off your day. That was not particularly effective.
Yeah, OCD. OCDC?
OCD.
OCD. Yes, you will sometimes get caught in the process. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to Eric Eager. He's the data scientist. He'll be with us in the 3 o'clock hour from Sumer Sports. Todd Lebo in the four. What a treat! How did you book that?
Man, that's a good get. That's a good get.
Talk about getting things done. We landed Todd Lebo.
It was passed him in the hallway. Hey, you good for four?
Yep. That's pretty much how it goes. It should be pointed out. Todd Lebo is one of our absolute favorite segments because, one, Todd's a bright guy, and he brings us Lebo sounds.
Another guy I would listen to just talk about anything.
Lebo sounds. Lebo brought to you by Family Leisure.
Sounds with a Z.
Spa and hot tub sale. Biggest one ever going on right now. So brought to you by, and they're proud to bring you Todd Lebo to the equation. By the way, Peter Vermees' appearance brought to you by Corona. Corona. For me, the Corona Premier had I got a restaurant. They don't advertise, so I'm not going to say where. But they got the Corona Premier on draft. Mm.
Always at least a few in my fridge.
And they have a bartender that I can say gets it when I go, and no lime. I understand that it's an auto-react when you order a Corona to put lime in it, that everybody else loves the lime. I don't want the lime. I like lime. I don't want fruit in my beer.
No.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
But the Corona Premier on draft reasons. And a bartender that doesn't just automatically dunk a lime in there, I'm in heaven.
The lime to the Corona is the same thing as the lemon in the iced tea. You have to ask, make sure, no lemon, please.
Unfortunately, they don't treat it that way. Because I say no lime all the time and it comes out and I'm like, which part of?
Right. No, I'm saying, if you go to the restaurant, you ask for iced tea, no lemon. How many times do you eat the lemon?
Oh, really?
80%
of
the time.
Okay. I guess I dine in finer establishments because my wife's a big lemon in the water person. So sometimes, like, she orders lemon in the water, and then one of my daughters gets lemonade, and then we all get lemon in the water. It's like there's lemon on the brain. I don't know. Did one of them want it? I know there's a lemonade. Ah, screw it. They're all getting lemon. I don't want lemon.
I don't mind the lemon in the water. I just don't entirely understand the point of it.
And to be clear, to save me a lot.
Yeah.
Not my wife's fault.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm a big fan of the service industry, as we all know. I think I'm a pretty good tipper. I'm not the best. You know, you're not getting $100 on 20 from me, but I'm 20% plus.
That's what I've always heard you say.
Yeah. But you know, it's not my wife's fault. I want to be clear.
Yeah.
Because I got to go home tonight.
Yes.
I don't know. According to Curtis, you've got an apartment now. So, are you really?
She might be thrilled to find that out.
Or you may not realize you have an apartment.
Yes,
you get home and all your stuff's in
beauty.
In another apartment. Yeah, you now live down at so and so.
The good news is you're next door to Curtis. You guys can catch up.
You're living down at Wood Fox Run Terrace. Every apartment complex has the word Woods or something along that line in it.
I like it. What is at stake for Patrick Mahomes in this matchup with the Tampa Bay Bucks and one Tom Brady, in your mind?
Because
it's not just a normal game. We all know that.
No, it isn't. I don't know that there's as much in the individual matchup as it might appear.
Why?
Because he's beaten him in the regular season. He's done what he's has a chance to do. And I don't know that you avenge postseason. You don't avenge postseason losses in the regular season. But any time you get a chance to beat the best, I think there's something to gain. So there's something to gain this weekend for him in that regard. But I don't think it's as much as
I don't know if
it would be if this is a postseason game.
I'm going to object to your police work there. I don't know if you understand, but a great philosopher once said, if you want to be the man,
you got to beat the man.
You got to beat the man.
Yeah.
And this guy,
but I think you got to beat the man in January and February.
This great American philosopher rode in jets.
He did.
He rode in limos.
That's true.
The finest robes money could buy.
Made of the finest silk.
That's right.
Yeah, I think there's something to be gained from that. But I
was
would
a
probably,
limo riding.
Was he?
Jet flying. Kiss stealing. Son of a gun.
I'm in the weeds on that one now.
You don't know who I'm talking about?
Is it Ric Flair?
Yes, of course it's Ric Flair. Of course it's Ric Flair. The great American philosopher, Ric Flair.
He
of
is.
Of course.
Another guy I would listen to talk about.
Don't want to get sidebarred on Ric Flair, but he is a fun guy to interview. Yes, I will tell you that. That's for sure. I've had that pleasure twice. But yeah, so look, is it at the Super Bowl? No, it's not.
No.
Can he avenge a AFC Championship game loss and a Super Bowl loss to him? No. But he can even his record at 3-3.
Yep. I think that's something.
I think that is something that for sure is meaningful. And so I think as we get ready for this game, you know, we can clearly discern that it's not just your average game. Like, we may not be thinking in those terms right now because it's like, well, the Chiefs just played a stinker. They got to get back on the right track. Bucks aren't in the division or conference. It's not going to really factor into the tiebreakers. So it's not that big a deal if he loses. For here on out, because it looks like maybe this is it for Brady. We're going to find out. Is he 3-3 head-to-head?
Or is he 2-4?
Or is he 2-4?
And 3-3, and the one thing I think is major is that it's a lot easier to kind of fritter and look at those Super Bowl losses differently if you've beaten. If you're 3-1 in the regular season against the guy. Because I don't think he really gets the blame, much of the blame for the last one, because everyone who watched the game knew what he was up against.
I don't think he gets blamed for either one, the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl.
And he left the field twice with his team ahead in the other one. So, and he's would have beaten him 3 out of 4 times in the regular season. All three of those wins on the road. I think that's something. So, yeah, I think there is something. The more I think about it, the more I think, yeah, there is something there.
By the way, here are the quarterbacks that are 500 or better head-to-head against Brady, right? This would be this is the club that Patrick Mahomes is, and this has got playoffs for everybody, right?
Regular and postseason.
Okay, so here's the 500 club. Taylor Heineke, they're all 1-1s, by the way. Taylor Heineke, Sam Bradford, Rich Gannon, Kurt Warner, Jake Delhomme, Gus Frerotte, Colt McCoy, Colin Kaepernick, A.J. Feely. By the way, this police work done by Curtis Siebold. Our thanks to Curtis for grinding through this. That's the lineup of 500s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Taylor Heineke, I'm not sure how that fits into it.
Kurt Warner and Taylor Heineke are on the same list.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Rich Gannon, an MVP winner, is there with Sam Bradford. A titanic disappointment.
And Warner's two games came in the same season in 2001.
Yeah, Colt McCoy, Gus Frerotte, A.J. Feely. You know, Colin Kaepernick took a team to the Super Bowl. Jake Delhomme took a team to the Super Bowl. So did Rich Gannon and won an MVP. You know, there's some riffraff there. Winning record against Tom Brady. Something that if Patrick Mahomes would win here and then maybe get a crack at beating him in the Super Bowl. Matt Stafford is 3-2. Eli Manning is 3-2. Drew Brees is 5-3. That's a lot of Saints action there.
Yeah.
That's it, you know, 4 games of Saints action in the 8. Russell Wilson is 2-1, right? And Brady got him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'm looking at Brees. I've got another page, another thing that has the individual games. His 5 wins were 3 were with the Saints and 2 were with the Chargers.
Okay.
He beat him twice in 2002 and 2005 when he was still in San Diego.
But Stafford, Manning, Brees. Pretty good company, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Kyle Orton, that one kind of doesn't compute. He's 2-1. Cam Newton, 2-1. Alex Smith is 2-1 against Tom Brady. Taysom Hill is 1-0 against Tom Brady. Talk about if he doesn't ever start another game at quarterback, what he's going to have to tell his grandkids. Yeah, I was a turd as a quarterback for the most part. But I'm undefeated.
That's funny.
Batting 1,000 against Tom Brady. Patrick Ramsey, 1-0. Don't even know it. I remember he played for the football team.
I'm going to have to go back.
Was a Tulane
exactly
quarterback, I believe.
Yeah, 03 Washington versus New England.
Yeah.
20-17 in 03. One of their only two losses that year.
Somehow got him. Lamar Jackson's 1-0.
Playoff game in 20.
Kevin Cobb.
Or 19.
That's an Andy Reid, I assume. Maybe he got him in the 5 minutes he was healthy in Arizona after Andy Reid traded him there.
See.
But
Kevin
I'm assuming
Cobb,
that was an Eagles.
2012 Cardinals at Pats.
So he was actually healthy. Nick Foles is 2-0. Brian Griese is 2-0. And Jake Plummer is 3-0. Jake the Snake. Jake the Mushroom Breeder. Right, isn't that what he's doing now? He makes psychedelic. He grows psychedelic mushrooms on him.
That's right.
On
that's
a farm, doesn't he?
Yep.
And believes he's going to live forever because of it. The man is either never had a mind or lost it somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the price you got to pay to go 3-0 against Tom Brady.
It is.
You got to lose your mind.
A little different person.
You got to lose your mind.
Tom Brady is tired of these snakes.
Yeah. There's a lot at stake. I actually will disagree. I you know, with anyone who says that they're, you know, it's not really, it's just another game.
And I kind of talked myself eventually into it just by kind of going through the things. I'm like, you know what? Actually, there is something to
it. Yeah, I think most people, I haven't given any thought. And then you go through it and you go, okay, do you want to be in the club with Matt Stafford, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Alex Smith, Lamar Jackson, Nick Foles, and, you know, and there are others, Jake Plummer, Brian Griese, but that's the crew that's got the winning record. You at least get to the 500 and up club, which I think is something you'd like to do. And I think it's something, if Patrick Mahomes is able to pick up 3 or 4 more Super Bowls and rewrite every passing record, he'd be in the conversation for the greatest ever. But if he's 2-4, it's going to be, I don't see how you get him past Tom Brady. Right? I don't see how you get there. Let's take a break. We'll talk some soccer. Peter Vermees next here in the program. 4 o'clock. When they will go at it with the Seattle Sounders. Let's talk about it with Peter Vermees, our Sporting Kansas City coverage, always brought to you by our friends at Corona Light, Corona Premier, and the Corona Hard Seltzers. Get those hard seltzers wherever you find your Coronas. Less sugar, less carbs, less calories in the Corona Hard Seltzers. Multiple flavors for you to choose from. Get it right now. Corona Premier, less calories, less carbs. Check it out wherever you get your Corona. We welcome Peter Vermees to the program. Peter, my friend, how are you?
I'm good, Saran. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I know the season overall has not gone the way you wanted, and now we are, you know, for lack of a better term, playing out the string. I don't know, is there a soccer equivalent to what that term is when you, I guess, you know, you've been eliminated?
Not happy. there really isn't, but Yeah.
I'm not
happy. That's probably the best.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed as I started down that question, I thought, great way to open. I was thinking, is there a way to get out of this? I'm like, no, I've really done it. So I deserve that that answer. I realized how bad that was. But you know, the flip side and why I started down that road is your squad has been playing great here coming down the stretch. 4-0-2 in your last six, or from a European perspective, 4-2-0, 4 wins, 2 draws. You know, outscoring your opposition 15-4. Bittersweet that you're playing this well, and yet, you know, you're not going to be able to advance into the playoffs.
Yeah, I just wish we had some more games left, which would have given us a chance to maybe get to some more teams at the end and maybe increase our points and maybe sneak into the playoffs. But I guess if there's anything that, well, I guess there's two things. The two things I would say. I knew early on, and you and I talked about this, I said to you that when you lose two important players like Alan Pulido and Gadi Kinda, it for sure has a major effect on your team. I've made the comparison where imagine if you lost Mahomes and say Kelce from the Chiefs, you know, all due respect to all the other players, but it's a significant impact to a team. And so, go ahead.
Well, I agree, and I'm curious as to, you know, you did know that as you set sail on that first match. And I'm going to give you credit. You called your shot. I mean, you kind of talked like, you know, I think one of the things you said was to the idea of, you know, putting it all together, learning, you know, getting the chemistry together and then finishing strong. I mean, I do remember our first conversation or the conversation leading into the season that you were talking about, hey, we've seen a lot of teams come together at the end, make that push, and they get hot, and it's not, you know, it's not normally the number one seed that's been winning the MLS Cup here of late. And that there was kind of a feeling that you could do that. I wondered at that time, is this a manager that's looking at a squad and saying, I have no other choice but to view it that way, so I'm going to make myself believe it, or I'm going to sell the fan base? Or did you really believe it? The way your team's playing, maybe it took a little bit longer than you thought, but you're delivering on exactly the way you kind of described this season going. I'm curious how to form it went. I mean, was it more of a challenge to get it to come together the way it has here of late? Did it play out exactly as you thought, or did you frankly just get lucky based upon, you know, that you were doing a sell job and boy, look at this, it all came together.
So I really am not, I don't consider myself to be a BSer, right?
Right.
I just don't. And I wouldn't do that to our fan base. I just wouldn't. But I also have a belief, and that is that, you know, I believe in the guys on the roster. I mean, I always laugh, you know, you'll watch an ECL game, you know, you watch one of the big clubs, you know, in the world, and the team loses, and after the game, the coach talks about how he needs one or two more players on his team, and I kind of laugh because I know their roster, and I think, like, are you kidding me? I mean, sometimes you also have to coach what you have. That's what you have, and that's who you are. And so I think a couple things. I think first, we didn't expect Scotty Kinda to be out as, you know, for the season. He was supposed to be back actually in April, playing on the field. But, you know, unfortunately that didn't work out that way. And then we brought a player in on loan who just didn't work out, and that happens as well. So when all those things start to converge at the same time, it had a real effect on us on an attacking perspective. And it's not just me saying that, but the statistics, the data, you know, it's the evidence. There's real evidence in the data that supports that as well. But when you look at the mid-season acquisition in William Magada and Eric Tommy, they were exactly in those two spots where we lost those two players for the entire season. They've made a significant impact. Obviously, they contributed to the scoring and the attacking, but what also does is it takes pressure off the group. It instills a level of confidence individually by line and also for the team when it steps out of the field. And that's the part I'm, you know, very happy with. What I would tell you, what I would say I'm really proud of is that, and I know that you have seen this over the years, whether it be probably teams in Kansas City or just teams in other sports, because, you know, you have to follow them all, right? And you have to have at least an opinion or something that, you know, you have to have a comment at least on other teams. And when you get to watch them and you know that if the season's not going well for them, a lot of times you can see them play games where it's almost like, you know, their shirts out on the field with no bodies in them, right? And our team, other than maybe some periods of time within a game, so maybe it's a 5-minute spell, a 10-minute spell, the game in Portland this year was 45 minutes. It was the second half. The first half we played really well. But we really didn't have these gaps where, like, the team just gave up. The team has had really good intensity. The effort's been there. Their belief has been there. And they have worked hard to try to keep a standard. And it's great to see them here at the end of the season playing with the kind of enthusiasm, effort, you know, from when we play. I think that has been a really proud thing for myself as a manager. And then I just think that's great for our club and for our fans, for them to get a chance to see them perform that way.
Is there anything you'd do differently in you know, the moves that you made in season, and obviously a couple of big acquisitions. You mentioned Nagata and everything, but anything you do differently?
Yeah, the easy thing would be, the easy thing for me to say would be is we've been great to have gotten, say, Eric Tommy and William Agata at the start of the season. But the issue is that we wouldn't have been able to do it at that time from a financial perspective. We just wouldn't have been able to do it. Some things were able to happen as we grew in through the season. And then also, as you know, the world's window, our primary window is in the winter. The rest of the world's primary window is in the summer. And so it's a lot easier to do acquisitions at that time for both, right? So if we're going to get a player from another team, teams are more apt to park or purchase at that time, meaning in the summer, than they are in the winter, whereas for us, we are. So we're able to get better deals on those two players at that time, which could also fit into our cap. And then the other thing is that, yeah, I'm still very frustrated with one of the rules in which we actually could have went out and loaned financially. We could have, it doesn't make sense to you, but when you know the cap and the way it works, mm-hmm. we could have loaned a DP or got a DP. We could have done that supporting Kansas City from a financial perspective. The problem is that the rules didn't allow us to do that. Whereas if we would have basically separated ways with one of our DPs, then we could have gotten a new one, but there was no reason to do that because our guys were under contract for length of time. And, you know, your idea is that they're going to come out of the surgery and they'll be good the next year. But we could have gotten a DP because next year we would have had a spot open that we could have got a DP now. Keep one of our DPs off that has season ending injury, and he would have been off of the so-called cap, if you will, from a spot on the roster. And we had the money to pay for that, but the league, at least at this time, doesn't have that rule that we could do that. But we are hamstrung from that point of view. But realistically, we should have been able to do that. And that rule, I think, is going to change starting next year.
DP, by the way, for people that are new to the sport, designated player, those are the guys that you can exceed the salary cap with, guys like Alan Pulido, who hasn't played all this year for Sporting Kansas City, but a guy that you think is going to be an impact player again when he gets back out on the pitch next year. What about the visa process, right? Like we touched on this a little bit earlier. Is there any more clarity? I mentioned LA, you know, at the same time, LA was buying in the summer that you were. LA was able to get their player on the field long before you were able to get Tommy Nagata on. I know that's a point of frustration. Is there any more clarity as to why, they seemingly seem to be able to get guys on quicker? Is this an MLS thing? Is this a United States thing? Where does that stand?
It's a couple of different things. One is, they could have signed that player a little bit earlier, so maybe they had a week or 2 weeks more than we did based on the contract being signed, right? That's one. Where it really gets sticky is that when a player is, you know, filling out the paperwork, all that kind of stuff, there's good places and bad places when it comes to different countries. Some countries are extremely fast at it, and other countries are really slow at it. And that lot had to do with COVID and just the consulates in other countries just not getting back to work. People, you know, things being backed up, and then also things within our country. So there's paperwork that's also in this country that has to be then pushed from here out, and sometimes the paperwork just sits, you know, in an office somewhere, and we do everything we can. I mean, it's amazing. The different people that we contact and we talk to, and then also different states in our country, it's just different. Some places also, like, the player can get a green card faster in one state than another. And I think a lot of that has to do with the politics of that state.
So do we need to rattle the cage at a state level as sporting fans to try to get things moving quicker?
We actually get a lot of support from, our congressmen, our senators. So we get a lot of support from that. A lot of times it winds up being outside of our state because our state does their part. It's where when it goes to like a main clearinghouse for the United States of Immigration, which could be, somewhere in the South, and it's just not getting pushed through. It's just sitting kind of in no man's land, the paperwork, and then it has to be pushed to another country. Where there are some players that we had to push, maybe they should have went through Holland and their immigration, but we actually traveled them to France to go through there because it was faster. It's just amazing how that can be. And that had an issue because, like you said, we would have had William Agata and Tommy much earlier, and could have been the difference of 2, 3, 4 games, which could have made a big difference.
Yeah, usually it takes 48, 49 points to get there. 43 is your max now if you would win your last two matches. And so, yes, two matches may absolutely have been the difference. If they could have been, six more points, that could be the difference between being in and not being in. And so that's why this is so important and why we're talking about it. We're speaking to Peter Vermees from Sporting Kansas City. What about on the pitch when they finally get here and they – they're playing. When did you see it all come together? Did it come together in a training session? Did it come together at halftime, a second half? Did you say, okay, here's where it is, and now it all fits?
With Tommy, I am honestly, the first training session, you saw right away the impact he was going to have. With Willie, it was probably a few training sessions into it, only because his season had finished earlier than Tommy. He was out, he had a break for a longer period of time, so his fitness wasn't as good as Tommy. But you could see there was a different dimension to both of them that we didn't have. I'm telling you, from the first week, but Tommy was first training session. He hit a shot, and it woke all the guys up very quickly, scored from distance, and you could tell right away. But there's another piece. I give both guys a tremendous amount of credit because their personality, their openness, their adaptation to the team was incredibly quick, and has a lot to do with their attitude when they came in here, because they could have came in going out. I mean, the team's, I think we were probably in last place at the time. They could have had a much different mentality, but they were excellent, and they brought in a great vibe that helped the group. And then, all of a sudden the team starts getting some good results. And next thing you know, they're starting to feel good about themselves. Now the week of training is good, leading up to the next game. You give that guy the ball, and he does something that, hey, wow, that was good for us. Now you feel a little more confident. There's just little things that go to that, that all of a sudden changed the outlook on all the guys.
Does it all fit looking to the future? Is there a big master plan, in your head when you make these moves this year, which obviously affected and helped the club this year? And I know I asked you this a little bit last time. You said you can never have too many strikers. You always need at least two guys up there that can finish to be able to inject somebody if they come in late. But does it all, or is it a matter of great players, we'll find a way to fit together and make it all work? Yes, the manager has to try to place them in the best places possible. You're not going to put one of them in goal, to make it an extreme exaggeration to make a point. But do you still see the vision of how it all fits next year?
I do. And we obviously have to make changes at the end of the year. We have to make some additions at the end of the year for sure. But that's not any different, right? I mean, every year it's that way. But we have a plan. We have when you say master plan, I would say that's very accurate because of, our structure, and how deep it goes, meaning into, kids that are 12 years old. So there is a huge master plan, in relationship to that. Some rules have changed on the academy level that are going to go into effect here sooner than later, and we need to be able to take advantage of that, because it's going to give us opportunities to go and scout and recruit players from other MLS territories, which we didn't have the ability to do that in the past. And then the other part is that our league has changed dramatically, and so at one point your depth was different. It could be just guys out of college, but now it's seasoned pros, and you have high level competition for positions. And so when you talk about the center forward position, the number nine, I want to get another forward at the end of this year. That'll give us, at least three guys in that position that can play just outright play the number nine position. Because everything is intensifying, meaning the number of games. Leagues Cup is going to take on a new format next year, which is going to be very heavy on the team. And so, we just need a much, much deeper team moving forward. And that has been a big part of this master plan. That was already, I was already thinking about that last year going into 23, meaning knowing that at the end of 22, we were going to have to, increase the just our roster in a certain way with what I knew way contracts were going to be ending or just different changes I was going to have to make with the team, that we're going to have to be able to really add depth, but at high quality because of the different competitions that are going to be in front of us starting in 23.
We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. Tell me, Seattle has something to play for. As fans, it'd be fun to knock Seattle off. I mean, they have to get a win. Is that a motivator for you, or is that something that's more just for fans to get excited about?
I think I understand that for the fans, so it's something to to hang on to. But I think for us is what we've really focused on here, especially is getting into this rhythm. But in the way that we want to play and trying to be very effective with that. And we've, you've stated about our record here recently, and what we've been able to accomplish. And I think for the guys, it's trying to stay informed with that, finishing out the season, in a way in which we're playing the way we want to, and we're dominating at times in the game, and being able to do the things that we set out to do and the objectives we set out in the game to be able to take advantage of something on the opponent or what have you. So those are the things that we've really been working on. And the other thing is that a lot of different guys have gotten a lot of playing time this year, which has also been very good to see and see how they handle it, see how their performances were, not just in one game here, but consistently over a season, which also is helping to make some decisions going into next season.
What how do you have to play? What style of play against Seattle, or is it just keep firing away the way things are going? You've been overwhelming. I mentioned that.
I think it's who we are. Again, I think when we started the season, we wanted to play the way we like to, but we weren't playing that way. We weren't good with the ball. We weren't good defensively. We weren't creating enough high quality chances, but we actually have been doing all of that here recently. And I do also think that going into next season, we have to evolve in our play. We have to continue to be good at possession, but only for one aspect. And that is, we have to be good in possession to continue to try to create as many high quality scoring chances as we possibly can. And we have to improve in that area. And to do that, sometimes there's a part of recognition in the game of when you should go fast to goal or when you should keep the ball. We have to become better at that recognition aspect. I also think that our movement off the ball has to continue to just get better. And those are going to be main objectives that we're going to work on as we go into next year. But I do think here at the end of the season, it has gotten a lot better. And I say that again, I think Eric and Willie have both helped with already pushing the envelope now that I thought we were going to have to do more in next preseason, but it's already happening now.
Yeah. How pleased are you with the depth of goalkeeping you've gotten? I mean, you're going down three deep and getting great play back there. I mean, and I know like the league seems to be morphing more towards the European model where most of the personnel moves are, you know, getting players from outside the league. It's not the trades that, you know, we see in American sports as much, but you would seem to have quite a bit of depth at goalkeeper. You've got, you had the extension earlier this year. How pleased are you with the way that looks right now?
Yeah, we're in a great place in that part. And even in our academy, we also have a couple good kids coming up. So we're in a really good place. We have three guys right now on the first team that all can play in MLS. And also the way that we want to play. So it's been great to see how those guys have stepped up. Both John Fulkamp and Kendall McIntosh, they've done a really good job. And I also like the way that they have responded. John had a situation where he gave up a poor goal against Austin, and I was really interested to see how he was going to react the next game. And he was great. He actually. He did what he needed to do to help us win the next game. And so Kendall coming in the way that he did, I just wasn't sure. I knew what he had in him, but I wasn't sure how he was going to play in the Major League Soccer game, because that's, you know, it's funny. Preseason is always like that. I love it when you play against another MLS team and, you know, you get a new guy into the team from overseas and you put him in and he plays and he's thinking. And I always try to tell him, I say, hey, listen, that was about 50% of what you're going to see when we get to, you know, the regular season. That was just a hey, how you doing type of thing. It's going to get into the meat. When we start playing, the game's going to take on a different intensity, a different pace to the game. The speed of play is going to be so fast. And so that was interesting to see Kendall, how well he dealt with that game. And he made some great saves. There was a save that he made in the second half. He doesn't make that save. All of a sudden, the other team is now starting to gain confidence and put it on us. And, you know, he did what you expect your goalkeeper to do in that time of the game and also in that situation. And he did it really well and kept his composure. And he saw the game out, which was tremendous.
4 p.m. on Saturday, Sporting Kansas City hosting the Seattle Sounders. Seattle very much needs this match to get into the playoffs. It's nestled in perfectly into your sports day. Chiefs don't play till Sunday night, so you can make it a doubleheader. Sporting Kansas City at 4. I will be out at Children's Mercy Park. Very much looking forward to the match. And so fit it in if you can in person. Or, of course, make sure you watch it on TV or listen to it on Sports Radio 810. Time for our final four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System offers walk-in care. They're right there at 435 and all. In OP, open weekdays 8 to 7 days. It's 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. Peter, I don't know where Pete came from. Peter, let me ask you this. How far does the U.S. men's national team, who is stumbling into the World Cup, how far do they go?
Yeah, I think these games, I mean, they matter, but they don't matter because they're just tune-up games. And right now, everybody's trying to stay healthy. Everybody's trying to just make it to the World Cup. They want to be on the team. They just want to get there healthy, right? And so I think what they have is they have a really good chance in their first game. If they can get the points there, then they're moving on to the next round. But I think actually, even though I think England is going to be a really good team in this World Cup, that's my opinion. Even though they haven't been playing well recently, I just think they have a very, very deep team with players that are playing at, you know, the best league in the world at a high, high quality every single day. And so the transition to going to their national team and playing against the other national team, that's not going to be a big jump for a lot of those guys because they're already playing at really high quality soccer. What I think one of the difficult games for them is going to be Iran. I think that's going to be a really difficult match for them. So I think they'll find points in the Wales game, and I actually think they'll find points in the England game, like a tie or something like that. And if they can do those two things, I think they move on to the next round. And now the game opens up in that there's a lot of youth in this group of players. And I think that can be an advantage going into those knockout games, because those guys will play with grit. So, and they're young and they'll recover quickly from game to game. So I think they have an edge there. I just believe it. And there's a lot of talent within the pool of players that we have today. It's really going to be about what they decide game plan to do. Do they decide to be high up the field and press, or they to take it a little bit more conservative, keep it compact, and try to counter with speed that we have within the attack and within that team?
I think I've asked you this before, and I think it was a very definitive answer, but I can't remember what it was. Do you like pumpkin flavor as we head into that time of year?
I don't. You did ask me. I'm not like a like if you went to Starbucks and got a pumpkin latte. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
I knew there was something. Either you loved it or it was very adamant that you didn't like it. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I keep. If I stop out by training, I will not bring my wife's pumpkin muffins. I will leave them here at the house to make sure. All right. Would you be in favor of eliminating the draft? I remember like when you guys drafted CJ Sapong and, you know, very quickly he was in and making an impact for the team. The league has grown well beyond that, which is a good thing. Would you be in favor of eliminating the draft?
No, I wouldn't be. I think it still has relevance still. Because I think there's still a lot of players that go to college and they still can, you know, again, be a part of the professional structure of the United States. Because, you know, we have now MLS, USL, MLS Next Pro. So we have a lot of different leagues in which those guys can go in and play in. And I think it still has its relevance still in the landscape of professional soccer in this country.
Time to change this opinion, but who do you have winning the World Cup right now?
Probably, I'd like Argentina.
Okay. All right, that'd be quite a story if it indeed did happen, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's been quite a story the last handful of matches, the last six, watching it all come together. It's been a lot of fun. Peter, keep up the great work. Get a win against Seattle, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Perfect. Thank you, friends. Always a pleasure, buddy.
Data scientist Eric Eager joins us next. First, what two quarterbacks have the most career starts against Tom Brady without a win? Brought to you by Good Sense.